Grace, mercy, and peace are ours this day from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
You know, before we get to our text today, we need to take a step back and have a little bit of context to what's going on in the world at this point. Israel has long since fallen. There's actually probably not a person alive who remembers a time when the entire land of Israel, the entire land promised to Abraham, is in the hands of the people of God. Judah has gone through succession after succession of weak kings, has been bartered and played with, and finally, at last, has been conquered and taken into exile. The people of Judah have been carried off to a land that is foreign to them, a land that is not their own, a place with a foreign language and foreign food and foreign customs and foreign gods. Ezekiel, in all likelihood living in Babylon, may not have even known what it was to live in the land. The Babylonians have taken others who they've conquered, and they've moved them into the land that God had promised to Israel, and those people have made it their own. It is hard for us to imagine how sweet our text for today must have sounded. But you, O mountains of Israel, shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people Israel, for they will soon come home. That there's going to be this time, and that it's coming soon, when the people of God will go back to the land, when they will go back to the mountains, and they will build farmland, and they will multiply, and the land will be good and rich, and things will be as they were supposed to be. And it's true. It would actually only be a few short years after this prophecy that the people of Israel were permitted to go home and to begin reclaiming the land. And we see this promise fulfilled in Scripture. And all of that is incredibly good history and background and things that we should all, of course, know. But, well, so what? What does that actually have to do with us today? I mean, we don't actually live in exile. That's the reality of it. I understand that for some of you, Indiana can feel a little like that, especially after this past winter. But we don't live in exile. We've come here by choice. We have come to this place of our own free will. We've come at the call of God to come and study. But the reality is we could also go home again if we needed to. We don't live under exile. And the truth is that, well, it's a pretty good place to be. It's a good community. It's a good town. It's a good land. And so it's easy to get comfortable here. Now, for some of you, that comfort's starting to wear just a little bit thin. You're aware that, you know, we're less than 30 days away or so from this call day night that's coming up. Some of you may be mindful of that. And that it's not going to be so far from now that you're going to hear where it is that you're going to serve on Vicarage, or where it is that you're going to go be a pastor or deaconess or serve your internship. And so the message sort of remains the same, less extreme, but don't get too comfortable here. You'll be going home soon. It's a wider level, though, that's true for all of us, and we all live with. Because the reality is this world, in spite of all of the mess that it is, in spite of the brokenness, the sin, the death, the destruction, is still at times a very beautiful mess. And that it can be very easy for us to start to feel a bit more at home here than perhaps we should. Make no mistake, we are not home. We are living right here, right now, in exile. And every so often, the reality of that comes crashing into our world and reminds us of that in good ways and in bad. I had an experience when I was a parish pastor in Georgia of getting one of those phone calls that you don't really want to get. It was a member of my congregation letting me know that her young niece, Sarah, who was 11 years old, had been out riding her bike and wasn't wearing a helmet and had had an accident with an SUV and was at that time being life-flighted up into Eggleston Children's Hospital in Atlanta. And so I rushed up there and met with her family and got the prognosis and had to ask that question that I could go a whole career without having to ask again. So is she baptized? Because we can at least do that now. And over the course of the next several days, they kept Sarah in intensive care. And one of the things they monitor when you have a head injury is the pressure inside your brain. And when that level is, you know, 1, 2, 3, nobody really worries about it. But when it starts getting to 5 and 10 and 15 and 20, the doctors and nurses start working carefully and quickly and more frantically as it goes up. And when the number gets above 20 and when it starts to go up into 30 and 40 and 50, the doctors and nurses slowly stop working frantically and stand around looking frustrated and helpless and just a little bit sad. And we sat there in the ICU waiting room for days as Sarah's levels climbed through 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 and 70. And after a while, the doctors came to the family and said, look, we've got to make some hard choices here. And we need to reduce the medicine we're giving her to keep her unconscious and just see what happens. And we prayed. We prayed. Her dad and I, we prayed. And as they reduced the medicine, Sarah coughed. We thought, okay, that's a reflex. It's good. And as they reduced the medicine some more, Sarah started to get up out of bed and remove all the monitoring equipment and IVs and other pieces that were uncomfortable to her. And we thought, this is good. And the doctor said they didn't understand it, and we said, well, that's okay, we do. We get this. This is what it's supposed to be like. This is what home looks like, even just for a moment. Got a phone call, well, a Facebook message, but different time. Just a few weeks ago, from that same parish member letting me know that Sarah had had her first daughter, and that Sarah's daughter was being diagnosed with a genetic condition for which there is no cure. So over the last few weeks, Sarah has walked the same halls at Eggleston Children's Hospital. Same halls I walked to see her, she now walks to see her daughter Lily. And they care for her, and they pray for her, and we don't know how that story ends right now. But we know that in the midst of that story and in the midst of that struggle, we are reminded that this is not home. That this is not how it is supposed to be. That when we face sickness and death and sin and evil, it is not the way it is supposed to be. We are living in exile. We are not home. Don't get too comfortable. We will be going home soon. And when we get there, the Bible reminds us in Revelation that it is going to be a different place. That it is going to be a place where there is no more sickness, no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. Because the old order of things has passed away and the new has come. That the stories will not be like they are today. That it will be a new place. Make no mistake about it, we live today in exile. But don't get too comfortable. We'll be going home soon. In the name of Christ, amen.